So I manage the cultural resources program for the installation. There's one other archaeologist that works with me. So I am an archaeologist by training, a historical archaeologist, and I also have a lot of experience with historic buildings and structures, and which we have a fair amount of as well. We and our other archaeologist is a prehistoric archaeologist, so he and I, between the two of us, we can cover pretty much everything that we have on the installation. We have over, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, tell me how much history is actually covered in this 63,000 acres.
So we have over 500 recorded archaeological sites, some dating all the way back to about 10,000 years ago. So our prehistoric sites, and then we have sites that date to the kind of late pioneer, early settlement period. So about, we start seeing pioneer settlers coming into the area in about the 1840s. So we have 1840 to 1940 time frame of folks that were just living in farmsteads, rural communities, and then Fort Leonard Wood comes in 1940-41, and so then our historic properties focus on the World War II era, Korean and Vietnam War era buildings and structures on the installation. So everything from buildings, barracks, mess halls, things like that, to features that were built by, we had a German POW camp on post during World War II, and so they did a lot of infrastructure, and we've got a lot of stonework features that were built by the POWs.
It's interesting that the Army is interested in the history before the installation. How did that come about, that this cultural resource is being preserved as well? Because you think of a fort, and it's about mission-driven, right? So how did this particular care for culture come about?
So you're right. We are very mission-driven, and the main reason that we do cultural resources management is part of our environmental compliance program. So there are federal laws and regulations in place, National Historic Preservation Act, Archaeological Resources Protection Act, Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act, and a whole slew of others that require federal land managers or landholders to take their actions into account as it would affect a cultural resources or a historical site. And so that's the main reason that the Army, just like any other federal agency, is engaged in cultural resources management. So we're making sure that we're staying in compliance with our federal laws and regulations, but in support of the mission. And so we spend a fair amount of time determining which of our sites and properties are significant, that have a high amount of significance and integrity and deserve to be preserved and protected, and which aren't. And that it sounds a little harsh to say, but not every archaeological site has a lot of information in it or can tell us much about prehistory or history. And so we let those go. So that's how we balance the training mission with our legal compliance and preservation efforts.
Let's talk about those that are being preserved. And we're talking to Stephanie Nutt here, who is the Cultural Resources Program Director for Fort Leonard Wood. And we're talking about history that dates back to prehistory. I was reading that you had a projectile point used for hunting that dates back about 10,000 years. Tell us some of the highlights of the history you are preserving.
Yeah, so that's probably a Dalton Point. I think that's what we talked about in the article. And we do have most of our archaeological sites, probably about two-thirds of them, are prehistoric sites. So they date to the time period all the way back to about 10,000 years up to more recent times, when we could identify specific tribes that may have been living in the area. And we have everything from caves, rock shelters, open campsites or base camps, which would have been habitation sites. We have a little bit of rock art, so we've got some sacred sites. And then all of the artifacts and things that would come along with that. So lots of projectile points, stone tools. We have some pottery that was being used during prehistoric times. And most of what is preserved from those sites are the stone tools and the projectile points. Some animal bones, which would represent the food and the diet of the people at that time.
And before we get into later history, why is that area so rich in this history? I mean, you're an archaeologist. This area, has it just been untouched?
Some of it is because it's untouched because Fort Leonard Wood came in 1941, and most of the installation is used as training land, and so it's still undeveloped. It's very wooded, and much of it is still in its original state, pre-1941. It also was not an area that, before World War II, had been developed that much. The parts of the installation that would have been good sort of bottomland or farmland was where the late 19th and early 20th century folks were living, but a lot of the rest of the area was never developed or farmed, and so it remained largely intact. So we do have very good preservation of our prehistoric sites. Some of our sites are also in caves, and so that helps with the preservation as well, because the caves weren't used that often during the historical times.
And I read here that you've actually proven historically archaeologists wrong, because they thought this area was barren and that there actually is pretty rich.
It is, and I won't take credit for that. That's a few archaeologists that came before me, my predecessors, but there had been the belief that that part of the state of Missouri and Fort Leonard Wood in particular didn't have much in the way of prehistoric habitation, that folks weren't necessarily living there that much. And as we started in probably the late 80s and definitely into through the 1990s, we had a very robust archaeological field program focused on excavating our prehistoric sites and revealed that it was much more rich in artifacts than was expected. There's a lot more evidence for habitation and living throughout thousands of years in that area. And so it's really kind of changed somewhat how we interpret the prehistory of that part of Missouri.
Wow. And then there's the military history. What can you tell me about what Fort Leonard Wood has brought and that you're preserving here?
So Fort Leonard Wood is a World War II era installation. So we started construction on the installation in about 1941. And it was at that time what we would refer to as World War II temps. So they were wood buildings that were designed to be temporary in nature. No one really expected them to be there more than about 10 years. They were designed to be easily moved from location to location if need be. 80 plus years later, we're still using some of them, so they weren't quite as temporary as folks imagined. And because of that, once a building or structure reaches 50 years of age, we're required to evaluate it for significance and whether or not it might be eligible for the National Register of Historic Places. And so we do have a handful of our World War II era buildings that have been evaluated and determined to be significant. We have a County Hall, which was our World War II era African American Officers Club. We've got a couple other facilities that are from that time period that are eligible, related to some of our infrastructure on the installation and our water systems. We also have a lot of German POW stonework across the installation. During World War II, we did have a POW camp on post. The POWs were put to work in a variety of jobs, and some of that was building stonework, check dams, culverts, headwalls, patios on buildings, chimneys, that sort of thing. And a lot of that has survived, and much of it is significant and eligible for the National Register. So we do work to preserve that. We get into our sort of Cold War era things. We've got a barracks and company complex from the early 1960s that is still in use today. So that includes barracks, mess halls, administrative buildings. We have our early 1960s era, what was then the Post Chapel. It's now referred to as Soldier Memorial Chapel, and it's a very beautiful modern style architecture that was built in 1962, and it's still used as a chapel today. It's eligible for the National Register.
You're listening to Show
Those
Me
are
Today.
Probably the most interesting.
Right.
I'm sorry?
No, that's okay. I'll edit that out. But you're listening to Show Me Today, The Voice of Missouri, and we have the pleasure of talking to Stephanie Nutt, who is an archaeologist and cultural programs coordinator at Fort Leonard Wood, which begs the question, can the general public ever see some of this stuff?
Absolutely. Some of it, the buildings definitely, and the stonework. We don't typically release the locations of our archaeological sites for protection. For the sake of the site, we try to protect those things to prevent people from causing any damage to them or looting any artifacts or things. If you can access the installation, either with a DOD issued identification card, or have someone that can sponsor you and come on post, you can drive around the Cantonment area and see some of the different facilities that are eligible for the National Register. We don't have any of our National Register eligible buildings that are sort of museums. So historic preservation is all about continuing to use the facility. That's what keeps it going and makes it last longer. And so all of our National Register eligible buildings are in support of our mission still. They are used as facilities for the military and for different training organizations within the garrison. So if you happen to be lucky enough to be taking a class in County Hall, you'll get to see all of the history of that World War II era African-American experience at Fort Leonard Wood. If you're driving around the Cantonment, you'll see the POW stonework, but we don't really do tours, although folks could probably contact our office if they're really interested, and we'd be happy to accommodate if we can.
That is such an interesting point to make, that they're still working in service of the mission, so they're actually being used and kept intact that way. You do have some artifacts curated at the University of Missouri if people wanted to see some?
So they are curated there. That's where all of our artifacts are stored. We have an agreement with the university. They are in their collection facility, so they're not generally open to the public. If there's somebody who has a legitimate research need to see them, we've got everything that's available there. So we have had other archaeologists and graduate students working on thesis or dissertation projects that have used items from our collection as part of their research, and so they have access to those. And then other archaeologists working in the state sometimes will access our collection. But they're not really on display where you could go and visit the facility and see them.
Okay. Stephanie Nutt, thank you so much for being on our show today. What are you working on right now? What are you excavating that you're excited about?
We're not doing any excavation right now, although we are gearing up to do some what we would refer to as phase two archaeological excavation. So it's site evaluation on five or six sites that'll hopefully be coming this fall. So there's a couple prehistoric sites and a couple historical era farmstead sites that we're going to be looking into. They're in an area that we need to expand some training activities into, so we need to evaluate those sites and see how we can move forward with protecting them and also, getting the training activity out there that's needed. So, which is a lot of what we do.
Stephanie Nutt, thank you for joining us on Show Me Today, The Voice of Missouri.